Today on the Game Boys podcast, we've got a new Nintendo Direct, a PS1 mini lineup, and a possible new app coming to the Switch. Tune in. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast. My name's Pat. I got my boy Bowman here.
Hey, everybody.
And we've got a special guest, Boston local comedian Michael Zendel. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, doing great. Thanks for having me.
All right. Go right into your comedy routine.
Yeah, we need a five-minute sample of your routine. Go.
I'd rather not right
now. Came unprepared.
This isn't funny at all.
Yeah, it's not
Boo.
Really fair.
Like.
All right.
Well. It's that Boston humor,
I
guess.
So you're.
I thought the people in Boston were tough when you're on stage. But Jesus.
Well, you just walked into the lines then, pal. Game Boy studio here.
I'm in the hot seat, and I'm about to hear some hot takes. So
you are about to hear some gaming hot takes. Yep. But first, you are our friend. You're here on vacation.
Yep.
And we are having you as a guest. How have you been? How are you doing?
Yeah, doing great. Yep. Yeah, everything's been fine. I mean, you've spent most of the past 2 weeks with me, so
yeah.
You would know more than anyone how
you did.
I am doing.
I was there for the for Hatgate 2018.
I wore hats at various places where apparently you should not.
Fine dining restaurants.
Yeah. Well, I don't see the problem. Again, like I don't. But
you shouldn't wear a hat at a $3,000 hibachi dinner.
That was definitely, but also, you know, I've had a new
more so than a hibachi dinner. It was there it is.
You
hit the table. I hit the table. It was a wedding rehearsal
dinner, and
you got cap on.
Yeah, I got a New York Mets hat that I've been wearing pretty consistently. I got a new haircut, and people say I look a lot like a Eraserhead. From Eraserhead, mm-hmm. or David Lynch, because those two are, you know, synonymous.
Yeah.
So, I'm kind of self-conscious about it,
okay.
If you need to know. So,
less self-conscious than wearing a hat at the restaurant.
I felt like I would look worse to, like, the wedding family.
You might have looked like an idiot, but you didn't look like an uncultured idiot.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right, you're right. An urban idiot.
Right,
I guess
exactly.
That's what I look like.
Right.
Like the guy who wears like red, dirty Converse shoes with his suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Was that someone at the wedding?
No, I'm just saying that there's always that guy.
Yeah, so. All right, well, we're happy to have you on the podcast. Nice. We got a special announcement, though. This is something I'm very excited about, Bowman. I know you are, too, even though you pretend that you're not. The Game Boys are going to IAPA next week.
Oh, we are going there.
Yeah, we are. IAPA, the International Amusement Parks and... What is it?
Yeah, good old IAPA. Everybody knows.
I'm so excited.
I know the acronym. I just don't know what it means. International Amusement Parks...
Playgrounds?
No.
Okay. International Association of Amusement Parks and Attractions.
Yes.
Beautiful. A lot of A's.
IAPA. So it's essentially a big gathering of where everybody who owns an amusement park, we're talking about them big boys with the deep pockets, when they get together at the biggest theme park convention in the world, and they decide what rides and attractions and food and entertainment they're going to be putting in their theme park.
It's not exaggerating. It's pretty massive, and everybody who is in some way involved in the music park industry is there. So anybody from like food to
right.
Go ahead.
So well, we signed up as press. We're in as press, and it's very heavy on VR experiences. They have a lot of times they'll have arcade games set up for play. I mean, like the newest arcade games. A lot of the times they're like the top of the line, the ones you like sit in, because that's the kind of stuff that people want at their amusement parks. So a lot of developers for these games are there too. So hopefully we'll get some interviews, and we're going to post them here on the podcast, and we're going to give you our hot takes on all the VR experiences, all the rides, and all the arcade games.
They're gonna have a dunk tank with Michael Eisner.
It's possible. That'd I think great. There was a dunk tank one yeah. year when I went.
There usually is.
They have the they have like all kinds of.
I don't know if Michael Eisner will be there.
I was gonna say,
isn't he retired?
Michael Eisner, yes.
Yeah, he's
he took his billions and went home. He as any reasonable person should.
I would just love to see him sitting there in a dunk tank, just all sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's that sad.
I don't think he's that sad at all.
No. He's definitely very happy with the amount of money he's made.
Boy, I'd love to get my hands on some of that Eisner money.
Well, so the kind of stuff you're going to see, is it is it going to be like, are there going to be executives like actually giving like...
They give like keynote speeches and stuff, yeah. but we're not going to be not going to that stuff. Okay. A lot of times you have to pay for the speeches and the special events and stuff, you have to pay extra.
It's because it's like industry professionals giving advice to... people in the industry.
Yeah. yeah.
It's one of those type of deals.
There are a few gaming-centric, events.
Well, especially with, Nintendo World coming to Universal, I'm sure there'll be some info on that.
I doubt there'll be any info on that.
Really? Probably not. No, okay. This is not a news convention. This is more of a, like, you're demoing your new technology for a ride that you want Disney to buy and put in there.
Oh, yeah, they'll have a...
Right, really so cool. There's, like, yeah. rides and stuff set
yeah.
up.
Yeah, like, there's, like, flat rides set up, and then there's bigger ride companies that will have, like, little just booths to the side, and maybe they'll have, like, a ride vehicle out, and they're just sitting there talking about the ride technology and everything, and the people who are actually involved in that business may make a deal with them or...
Mm. Yeah, and you'll be walking past, and they'll wave you down and give you, like... free pizza because they want us to sell their pizza in the park. So you like they give out samples of food and candy and all that stuff.
Yeah, all sorts of stuff. Like,
so it's all people trying to break out into the
amusement. Yeah. One year they were introduced. One company was introduced like an automatic cotton candy maker machine. I don't know if you saw that. It literally like took the thing out and made the cotton candy on the stick for you and just boom, you would just open the door and then
that's great. There you go. Yeah.
So stuff like that. So it'll be really fun. So I mean, I may not look excited, but I actually am very excited. I've been to a couple times, and I'm more than happy to check it out.
Yeah, we're looking forward to covering it. So yeah,
it'll be a fun time.
You guys tune in for that if you want to hear all the DL on IAPA.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's get right into the news here. We got a Nintendo Direct.
Yes, we
that
do.
Happened. Totally goofed on that last podcast where we said with some assurity. That
the leak?
The leak would be real.
I wasn't too sure. Because
it wasn't. So for the Smash Brothers Direct, we got some news. Two characters were announced right off the bat, Ken and Incineroar.
Woo, Incineroar.
Yeah, I don't know nothing about that guy. He's a Pokemon.
I was going to say, is there something I should...
Ken from Street Fighter.
I know Ken. Yeah, but I
And Incineroar is a Pokemon. He's a wrestling Pokemon. He's a fireman.
Oh, great.
You covered it.
Right. So he's a fire wrestling Pokemon. Looked pretty neat. Looked like an interesting character.
You got a little funny aspect of him where anytime he pulls off a move, he does like a wrestling pose and everything. Great. And yeah. And I spoke to more people about him and they said, yeah, like he's like, because wrestling's huge in Japan. So.
Oh, yeah. They're especially like MMA and stuff like that.
Yeah. So
really big.
I feel like. They definitely they talked about how they designed him in a way that pays tribute to a lot of big wrestling moves and stuff. So maybe that's interesting to some people. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure it's a neat character to have. I know a lot of people were probably disappointed that there weren't other like different characters.
Yeah.
And then they announced they went over the spirit mode. I didn't like it. I was pretty disappointed. Basically, so the spirit mode, the way that it works is they. For whatever reason, they tied this into getting rid of the trophies, which is strange. I didn't see the connection there, but they were basically like, there's no trophies anymore. Now we have spirit mode, and it's a way to, they use it as a way to represent, like, the other characters or games that aren't in the game, and, So what happens is essentially it's like a single player mode, adventure mode. It's challenge mode from like Melee, where it's like destroyed, beat 99 Marios. Mm-hmm. And for the reward, they give you an attachment of like, it's a spirit, but it's essentially just like a little screenshot cut out of one of the characters' faces. And then some arbitrary stats attached to it that raise your stats when they are, when you equip them. They're like items that you equip. They're, you put them in a slot. And, yeah, so, I mean, it is, it's neat. It's an interesting take on the challenge mode. It gives some new flavor to it. I was disappointed that they got rid of the trophies and used that as a reason for it. The trophies have always been in Smash Brothers, at least since Melee.
Well, it's funny, because he didn't really, he said that, he pretty much just said, and those, they were a giant pain in the ass, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
He pretty much said that at the, like, not word for word, but he said that they were very, they were not easy to implement, the trophies.
Did you watch the Nintendo Direct? I feel like you mentioned something to me about
it. No, I did not. I saw
the trailer
for Smash.
Okay.
That was about it.
All right.
Yeah.
Are you a Nintendo man?
When's
the last Nintendo console you owned?
Yeah, growing up, it was all about Super Nintendo, and that was about it for me.
You never
after that, no.
Yeah.
Nothing beyond that?
No. After that, I was all about PlayStation, and then that was where it really took off. But
how do you feel
that,
about the Switch? Do you want one?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been wanting a Switch for a while, especially after seeing Breath of the Wild is like. It just looks so incredible. But you know, I'm one of them poor guys,
right?
You know?
Right.
And I'll live in a market where I can afford to get every game.
You're a
console.
Hot shot comedian in Boston. You can't afford a Switch.
Oh yeah, hot shots live in their friends' living rooms, right?
You're living the quintessential comedian life, though. If you're living on somebody's floor,
yeah, pretty much, and it's close enough, but. No, like I was saying, I've always been interested in the consoles when they've come out.
Yeah.
And I've always, like, loved to try them out, but the Switch is the first Nintendo console really since the 64 that I can actually see myself having as much fun playing, especially playing Mario Party with you recently.
Yeah, we've been playing a lot of Super Mario Party. It would be great if you had one for your 14-hour day trip to the hospital tomorrow.
Yeah, Jesus. Well, you know, that's a whole nother
thing. It'd be perfect for that.
Yeah, playing Mario Party with
I'd play
myself.
Zelda for 14 hours. I'd do that all day.
Yeah, pretty much. What about that Skyrim?
That's port? There, too. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff on there.
But then again, I can play that on my phone soon anyway.
I just picked up today. I got Overcooked 2 for the Switch for $8. Bowman's
I'm
a little bit
grimacing
salty.
Over here.
A little salty over that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Got a clearance special at Walmart. My friend Snyder, who's been a guest on the podcast before, grabbed it for me. $8 marked down from $40.
What a good guy.
Yeah. So, I'm happy about that. Yeah. So, anyway, this so Spirit Mode, Ken, Incineroar. Let me get through the last part, and then I'm going to go over my thoughts on the director. You can give yours first, Bowman. But what else was there after that? That was pretty much it, right? And then at the end, they announced that there's going to be DLC, 5 characters, 5 stages, 5 songs, $25 if you buy the bundle, which isn't too bad.
Or $6 a piece.
$6 a piece. And which honestly is not... Oh, see, there you go.
I'd hit the table, though.
Yeah. it's $6 a piece is not bad if... considering that you get a stage and a character and stuff, like you get their whole set.
It was kind of funny how they introduced it, though. Hey, this went. We have nothing to show for this. Please buy.
Yeah, they didn't. They literally didn't tell you what characters they're gonna have or anything. And it's just, it was just five question marks and black spaces. And they're like, this is what's coming on DLC. It's $25. Normally we would show you, but we can't. Sorry. Please buy it.
Well, they give you, if you buy it now, you get the Xenoblade Chronicles 2 Me costume.
Mm-hmm.
Which is whatever. It's garbage.
Well, it sounds like almost like unlockable characters that, like,
right, it's
the
DLC
challenges
characters.
You would actually be able to unlock, and that's why, you know, they're all blacked out. You know,
but
no
you have to pay for them.
You
the challenges
sense of achievement.
The challenge is to pay
$25.
No.
Now you can feel the achievement if you pay us money. That's what it is.
Right.
You can't actually, you know, do anything that makes you feel like you earned it, except for
achievement
actually...
unlocked. $25 poorer.
They just felt they can get away with it because people like Pat and I'm already going to buy it. And
I will pre-order.
Well, yeah, I mean,
pre-order.
Yeah.
And also, when the Zelda DLC came out, they kind of had a similar thing where they didn't
show
really,
anything.
And they didn't really show off anything about it.
No. I so my attitude with it, what I told you was, there's not really a world where I'm going to not have all the characters in Smash Brothers if I bought the game. So
yeah,
it's an instant buy for me. It doesn't matter if, you know, it's they put, you know, fucking Grimace from McDonald's in there. Like, oh, I don't care.
Well, I mean,
confirmed here.
Could be a poop. It could be a poop on the bottom of a shoe, and I'm like, well, I just need all the Smash Brothers characters.
Well, they know this. They're like, we don't fucking care. Like, these people are gonna buy this product, so why even try at this point to, you know?
Yeah.
Put any kind of, you know, transparency out with our fans or anything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they just don't have anything to show right now, but and then they announced at the very end that there's that they if you buy the game before January 25th, I believe
31st,
then you get for free a DLC character. It's a Piranha Plant.
Yeah, not he won't be ready until like a couple months after launch, but yeah, you'll be able to claim him. Kind of like back then, didn't they have something similar? If you bought like both the 3DS and the
it was a soundtrack
and the Wii U one.
I have that soundtrack.
They gave you like a free thing for doing
it's
that.
It's a nice so, CD. Two discs.
It's pretty cool.
For free.
Smash is a great soundtrack.
It's not bad.
So even if you buy the digital or the physical, you both
yeah. So you get the Piranha Plant character for free.
He looks awesome.
That's pretty neat. Pretty neat addition.
That's a nice surprise.
Yeah, it's just a generic enemy from Mario, not even a specific character.
I love all those. Like, I mean, you're like I'm me. Saying, all those like weird characters that they do. Though. Yeah, I like it. Like Wii Fit Trainer is one of my favorites. Game and Watch is one of my favorites.
Rob.
So
does he just like hop around? Like how does he move?
He's in a pipe and it just kind of scoots around.
Yeah,
he's got little feet. It's kind of funny to watch when he's running. He's got little tiny like feet that go
that
like
stems. Adorable.
Yeah, yeah it's That's he's pretty great. Cool looking. Like, yeah, I'm really excited about him.
Yeah,
and his final smash is the one of the bosses for Mario Sunshine.
With the giant Piranha Plant where he spits out the paint and stuff.
Yeah.
The goop. So that was neat. And then, strangely enough, probably the most important piece of information that came out of this direct was, like, just barely glossed over. They didn't talk about it at all. It was just the single-player mode at the end. They were just like, oh, yeah, and here's the, what do they call it? Ray of Light mode or something like that?
I honestly forget.
I forgot the name of it. Yeah, it's like light mode, and it looked like a giant. The art style was amazing. It was like watercolor.
And I liked it.
It was
a giant
world. Like it almost looked like a board game in a way. There's like paths you go down in spots, and there's different challenges for you to compete. You start off as Kirby, and you just unlock all the characters through that. So Kirby's it looked really interesting, but we didn't get any info on it. They just showed a quick.
Well, other thing that they talked about a lot was the online play. That was a pretty big part of it.
So,
like they talked about that online play you'll be able to set preferences. Like, do you want weapons? Do you not want weapons? Do you want stock? Do you want time? Like, you'll be able to put preferences out there, and then they'll match you. They'll try to match you with people who have those similar preferences.
Yeah.
There's also a mode where you can with a friend on a couch co-op and go online together and go against another team that is set up the same exact way. So, like, two people on a couch versus two other people on a couch somewhere else. The weird parts about it were when they went, where it's just like Nintendo is really clearly going, yeah, we're not going to invest in servers. Sorry.
Yeah.
Is when they went, we're going to match you guys as close to...
It's regional.
We're going to try to get you guys as close as possible because we want a stable connection. And then he goes as far as to go, please make sure you have a stable connection and make, like, you can buy the LAN adapter.
Yeah, they literally tell people they should get a LAN adapter.
And it's like, fuck you. You guys are charging. Yeah, it's 2018, exactly. And you're charging for online now, and you're going to go ahead and tell us that we're the issue of stable connection? Like,
yeah.
No.
No, I've got, you know, I'm getting, you know, 200, 300 megs a second on my phone on Wi-Fi. You're telling me that I need a LAN adapter? I don't think so, pal.
Yeah. And the other part they talked about, of course, they had to talk about the stupid phone app again. They talked about that.
Yeah. Oh, you could voice chat with your friends with a phone app.
That thing was a disaster.
They're still pushing it.
Yeah.
Yes. Nobody uses it.
I have no idea why. Just call somebody on your phone.
Yeah,
while
nobody
you're playing.
Uses it.
It's better to use Discord.
Yeah. I really have no idea.
It's a shitty idea, and it's already limited in itself. So it's just like a crappy idea that you have a set of rules on. So it's just not even any bit useful because it's just every game has an arbitrary like, oh, you can only do it in this mode and do it in this mode. It's like, why am I going to bother? Like
at this point, even to sign up and I mean the whole process that you guys were telling me, it just sounds like. Let me just call my friend that I'm playing right now.
Discord or my or call.
Right, if I'm going to go on my phone and open an app and talk like that, I'm just going to use Discord because it doesn't have any restrictions, like you said. So
it's
nonsense. It really is. So what were your initial thoughts on this trailer? You texted me and seemed pretty excited.
I was excited. I thought it was a really fun trailer, and I guess I didn't expect any more. They've already revealed so much stuff that I never thought that it would be just like another like giant game changing reveal. We're a month away from launch. I just literally thought I was going to be showing off what the game was going to be like at launch, which is what it was. And it just made me more hyped, which is what the point of the direct was, I thought.
I felt like it was pretty unnecessary because, like you said, they've showed off so much. I think this could have been distilled down into 20 minutes and spread out through the last two directs. I don't think this needed its own direct. Or if it did, I feel like this should have been at the front end and like the last direct where they showed off all the all these extra characters, the new ones and all the new modes and things like that. That probably should have been this one here. I feel like in the grand scheme of things with all the other things they've announced and the other directs, it was underwhelming. It was underwhelming because the other things they've shown off have been better.
Yeah. So
I just, I guess what my point is, I was already so hyped for the game before this that there was nothing they could have really done aside from announcing like a shitload more characters that would have got me any more excited. They already kind of just blew their load too early.
I like the assist trophies part a lot.
Yeah.
I like the assist trophies part.
Yeah.
They had like, showed off a lot of the assist trophies, and some of them were really just obscure stuff. I can't believe that they have this in this game. Like the Yuri Kosokata from Fatal Frame 5.
Yeah, that was
awesome. My little brother's a giant fan, so he was really psyched about that. So I just like that they continue to do stuff like that. Even the spirits was kind of just weird, but I saw little things that references the things that I went, oh, wow, they're paying reference to that. I saw Ostakare Oyenden and at one point during that.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, is that a first party game?
Us?
Oyenden?
I think it is.
Just grab it right there off the shelf and see.
Let me see.
I don't even know. You don't have a complete inbox.
I have the second one.
Oh, well. Yeah, grab Elite Beat Agents right there. Elite Beat Agents, the blue one. Right there. We're going to find out.
Who's the publisher
that's the first
right now? Nintendo America 2006, Nintendo America, and INIS.
Yeah. It looks like Nintendo is the publisher. So they didn't develop it, but it looks like they're the publisher at the very least. So yeah. Yeah, that was neat. It was not a lot of effort was put into it, it seemed, though. It was just, like, literally just a little cut out of a screenshot.
Oh, I'm not saying that it was like, oh, my God, they're doing that. I just went, oh, that's kind of neat. Like, sure. I think the spirit system's kind of cute. It's just a little way of just showing off all the random stuff that people want to see. Because people just want to see, like, their games represented.
I would probably care less if it wasn't for the fact that he tied it to getting rid of the trophies.
Yeah, I think that was just I don't think he really did it like that. I thought he just did it as a way to like, hey, we can't do this, but we're gonna go ahead and at least soften the blow a little bit for you, and then here's some more game references.
Sure.
For you.
Yeah. So anyway, overall, I just felt like it was kind of underwhelming compared to the other announcements, but it's all good stuff. Like I'm not.
Yeah.
There was nothing really that I was. In fact, I was actually really impressed by the online stuff because aside from the fact that there's no servers. Which we kind of already assumed.
They're taking pro a lot more seriously on it.
Yes, they're taking the pro playing online more serious, and they're also it's so much more robust to play with your friends, like the private rooms. Before it was just you made a room, and I think it was you could maybe do stock or timed or whatever, but aside from that, you couldn't really do much.
I mean, the preferences in just single queue mode are pretty crazy that you can even, right, like, put item preferences. I don't want any final smashes. I don't want this, there's that instant kill. There's, like, the extra life item that you can be like, I don't want that.
Playing with your friends, too, they give you so, like, they let you spectate. They let you play, you know, as many people as you want in the game. You can create a queue and be like, okay, we'll play one versus one, and whoever loses, this one gets kicked out, and the next person in the queue will go up. Yeah. Like,
I like that idea a lot.
Yeah.
Especially with how only four players can play at a time.
No, I think it's eight.
Oh, it's eight?
I don't know about online. They didn't really touch upon it, but you can play eight players locally. I know
that's
much.
That's great. Yeah, that's awesome.
So, yeah, it's good stuff. It's an exciting game, and I look forward to getting it on December 7th. That was one of the last games that I got with my Amazon discount.
Same.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, because they canceled that. I don't know if you knew that.
You're just finding those steals. Yeah. Right.
Finding them steals and getting them deals. Okay. On that note. so you're a PlayStation boy. You'll be great for this. You'll be great for this conversation.
Yeah.
The PlayStation Mini full lineup was announced. Oh, yep.
I'm pulling it up.
I already got it.
Okay, cool.
So,
let's hear the games and
I think I've seen a couple of announcements.
Yes.
That's about it.
It's 20 games.
Battle Arena Toshinden, Cool Borders 2, Destruction Derby, Final Fantasy 7, Grand Theft Auto, the original one, Intelligent Cube, Jumping Flash, Metal Gear Solid, Mr. Driller, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Rayman, Resident Evil Director's Cut, Revelations Persona, Ridge Racer Type 4,
Ridge Racer!
Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo, Siphon Filter, called it, Tekken 3, great. Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Twisted Metal, and Wild Arms.
Kind of mostly games that I would have expected to be included.
Really? Not me. Like, I was missing a lot there.
I don't know. I mean, you've got Twisted Metal, you've got...
You got Twisted Metal 1, though. Come on now.
No, I'm not saying that they're games that I would prefer, just games that I could see them making that decision.
Out of that list, how many games did you, like, play as a kid?
Like, actually sit down and play and get into?
Yeah.
Oh, God, probably only, like, four?
Here's the biggest, weirdest omission for me. Gran Turismo.
Yeah, I was surprised at that being left out.
That was like one of the biggest franchises on PS1.
Yeah,
it's not so big anymore because there's so many other racing simulators out there. But like, I wasn't even a big racing fan as a kid, and I had Gran Turismo 1 and 2, and it seems like a really strange omission. And this list to me just kind of feels like they cheaped out on the licensing. They didn't want to pay anybody.
Well, I've seen a lot of like people talking about what they would like to see, and again, Gran Turismo was like one of the, you know.
I don't even care about it. I don't care about Gran Turismo. I wouldn't play it if it was on there. I'm not getting one of these, so it doesn't matter to me what the lineup is. But it just.
Yeah, I mean, I still have a lot of the games I played as a kid. I still have a PS2 and PS1.
You have PS1 games?
Yeah, I have PS1 games.
Let me get some of them.
Nope, bud. I'm still on that playthrough of Silent Hill, so.
Man, you don't play those games.
I play Silent Hill. I put it down for a while, but I've been wanting to actually
Silent Hill's not on there.
Series.
It's not.
Yeah.
That's a weird, that could have been on there.
I thought, didn't you say like Silent Hill 2?
No. Resident Evil Director's Cut's on there.
Oh, okay, yep. Okay.
Should have been Resident Evil 2 instead.
I like Silent Hill. I wasn't really...
Resident Evil...
Never played Resident Evil.
The U.S. version of Resident Evil 1 isn't really playable.
Why is it not playable?
Because they took out, like, the auto-aim and stuff. So...
Have you played Resident Evil, the first one, before?
Yes, and it's infamously not good in the American version.
I didn't know it was infamously not good. I never heard that.
Yeah. That's why things like the Resident Evil remake existed only a couple years later because America, every other version was easier and more playable. The director's cut, all the director's cut does is add the censored scenes back in. But when you're talking about a game that's that clunky, when they remove the auto aim, it basically makes it so there's certain parts of the game where you literally can't avoid getting hurt. Because that you have to like clunkily turn around with the tank controls and fire off shots like real quick in an instant, and it's just not built for that type of thing. They took it out. They took that out because of the rental market and here in the U.S.
Yeah, I had
no idea. Yeah, so all the Japanese versions have auto-aim, and all the other Resident Evils did too, like Resident Evil 2 and 3 and stuff. So it's not a good version. The director's cut is the better version. The original release is just awful with all the edited scenes and things. But anyway, no Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, Spyro. With the new trilogy for Crash Bandicoot. Spyro, I didn't understand. I think there should have been.
Well, they're coming out with a new one with that, too.
I don't think that's a reason. Well, yeah, play it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, yeah. You're supposed to.
How many times have they released Final Fantasy VII?
The whole point of the system was to bring you back to the original PlayStation, and, like, those are iconic games.
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Like, yeah, Crash Bandicoot was one of my favorite.
That's why I'm surprised that there's not really any, like, real platforming game on here that's, like, decent.
No, well, Tomba.
I mean, there's Rayman on there, but I don't really consider that, like,
the one that I was thinking
a staple on PlayStation.
Too, like a Crash Tag Team Racing, like a
Crash Team Racing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, yeah, it could be on
something
there.
Something like that. It was just like at least involve like he was the biggest staple of.
I don't think they want to pay for the licensing PlayStation. Costs. Yeah. To Activision or whoever owns it now. That's all.
I don't think the system list is like horrible. It's just not. It's just very underwhelming to me.
Mm-hmm. I just think if you're going to do something like this...
do it right.
Exactly. Yeah. Then Fatic Do It Right was...
Do it right.
Yes, I like that. We should save
you?
That
Who
audio.
Was that?
That was me. That was me. I'm sorry.
It wasn't me.
Should save that audio clip and
do it right.
You're going to use it a lot.
So, yeah, it's... I honestly do believe that... I mean, look at this. I got my Crash Bandicoot big plush... solid 2-3 feet tall right next to my box PS1 up there. That's how iconic that character is to that.
I mean, everybody as a kid. I mean, if you're our age,
if you play PS1, you played Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, exactly. That is the staple of like your childhood. If you played PlayStation 1 and everybody had one of the Crash Bandicoot games.
Yep.
Everybody has a great memory of that.
God, I love that series. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's a it's some weird omissions. Whatever. It's going to be a no buy for me.
Yeah, I as a PlayStation fan, like from being a kid, I don't really see a reason to get it.
I don't really miss the original PlayStation controller.
Yeah, that's another thing too. The controller not good. So, okay, and let's see what else do we have going on.
Well, we're
here
on the topic of Sony, so we can talk about.
Go into it.
Okay.
Talk about whatever you want, buddy.
Thank you.
You're the co-host.
Thank you.
Is it Venom 2 was announced with Don Cheadle?
That's no, it's that...
Carnage?
It's been pretty big lately and well known that Sony has implemented a new censorship policy within their company. I don't know if you've heard about this at all.
No, not at all.
Don't play a lot of weird anime games?
It's mostly been affecting
skimpy clothes.
It's mostly been affecting those types of games, the Japanese developer fan service type games. So what's been happening is that a lot of these games are having troubles being released at certain points because Sony has implemented a much stricter policy when it comes to sexual content.
They've always been the best one about it.
Yeah, but that's what makes it such a head scratcher, because they're the ones who, like Senua Kagura, big series on PlayStation. A lot of these like niche Japanese titles, like the Neptune Dementia, like
so. What are they just
on the Vita?
Like...
There was so many like fan service girl games, Criminal Girls 2. There was Dungeon Travelers 2, and those were all like pretty fan servicey games. There was some censorship, but it was mostly due to the ESRB, not because Sony was dipping their hands into it.
So what are we talking about?
They're cutting out modes of the games.
I can even show you a picture.
Yeah, because I know that. I mean, it's always scantily clad. Like you've got like the big old titties, and, and the,
we call them. It's probably not good. You say.
Oh yeah,
that
I'm
here.
Sorry. Never mind.
Breasts.
I'm sorry. Yes, breast.
Big, I don't want to watch your language there.
Big old breasted. Women.
There was like a visual novel game that came out recently. Nora to Ojo Ndo to
nailed
Nora,
it.
Nora Neko Heart.
I'm loving that Japanese.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I'm loving it. It's really cool.
So This is the PlayStation version of that game right here, and this is the PC and the Switch version. So there's like a you guys can't see while you're listening, but there is a pretty, just look it up online. But there is a part where it has one of the characters. I think it's in the beginning cinematic. She's laying down on her back, and she's got like a I think it's just, yeah, it's just like her underwear.
Tube top or
just
something.
Like a, it's her underwear. Yeah, okay. She's in her underwear. All right. And her bra is like barely covering her tits. So, but they are covered. And then the Sony PlayStation, it's literally giant rays of lights that like cover her entire body.
Yeah.
So in reality,
that's a clever way to do it, though.
If anything, it just makes her look naked.
I'm surprised it's not like the porn over there where they like pixelate like the entire like shoulder blades what? Like Jesus! Like it just seems so far. Like
it's frustrating because there is a rating system for this already, and. Why is it okay for movies and things to show nudity and sex, but not in games? Like in games, it's still such like an infantized medium.
Well, I think also in like Japanese culture, I'm not the biggest connoisseur of Japanese culture, but I do like Studio Ghibli and stuff like that. The animated movies and content over there. Are not, you know, over here we see it as, like, that's for children. That's mostly what we think. And over there, no, like, I mean, there are a lot of instances with anime and, you know, so on that it's not just kids that enjoy these, you know, movies or anything like that. So when someone sees, you know, animation like that.
Right.
And there's some content that is for adults. Even though it may have a mature sticker on it, they may have the idea that kids, you know, are going to be the market.
Yeah, we have, like, South Park and stuff here, and everyone knows that that's why we have the rating system.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what's so
confusing. I'm just saying, I think that's always been the connotation, though, and I think that's why, like, with South Park, it's always been targeted by people as, like, as parents, as, you know, just... bad for the youth.
Right.
Well, the thing that doesn't make sense about that, though, is that this is Sony's a Japanese company, and they're targeting like Japanese developers on this content. Like, I guess I would sort of understand if Microsoft like took a stance like this, because American culture is very anti-sex.
Right.
Yeah, no, you're right.
And I don't know. Something has to be going on behind the scenes with Sony. Like, what made them do this? I know that they have issues with like China sometimes when they're local when making games over there. So maybe they just wanted to just make an all-encompassing purpose that makes it good for the entire global release. Kind of a dumb idea though, because these games are for very niche audiences, and these niche audiences will go elsewhere if they're not getting that content. They're not going to buy the game at that point.
Yeah,
well, of course.
It's a very strange world we're in where Sony is censoring harder than Nintendo now. Nintendo doesn't care. All this content's coming out with no issues.
Yeah, they just had the new Senran and Kagura game where you feel the boobs and then the HD rumble.
That's the ironic part.
Oh,
is that
I gotta
the new Senran and Kagura Burst revival game that came out for PlayStation has a mode that's similar to basically the whole point of that Nintendo Switch game. Mm-hmm. They removed it because of this new policy. But Nintendo Switch literally has it as its own game that you can buy on its own.
Yeah.
Just that mode.
Just where you
fondle them.
You like massage and like fondle the anime girl.
Can you let me know when there's like
Joy-Con,
a sale on?
The Joy-Con gives you the like HD rumble feedback when you're touching the boobies.
I mean, I don't know how much.
It's like you're really there.
Yeah.
It's like. So when does
Nintendo
VR come out?
It sounds so silly.
Out?
Like, who are they protecting here? Right. Like, what is their goal with this? I don't understand. That's
they're trying to ruin all my fun.
I mean, doesn't it always seem like when something like this happens, like any of the censorship, like it always seems like what's the point? Like,
what is the point?
I've never understood one of those decisions.
It's
like,
to soften
can't...
my pants. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Well, aside from just the...
I mean, coming from a studio that also wouldn't release, like, the interview because of, like, the whole Kim Jong-un situation.
Right.
It's like, all right, maybe...
Little pussies.
They shouldn't have just released that movie because it was trash.
Hey.
Yeah, well, it wasn't great.
Yeah, no, I'm not... It was bad.
You want to do an interview?
It was trash.
Review of the interview?
I would rather never talk about that movie again,
but
honestly. That was
aside from
the
society, how... Because we're all aware that American society is really weird when it comes to sexual content. So it's just surprising that Japan's really going down on this pretty hard too now.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the concern is that what's going to happen to these games? Are they going to go, are they just all going to move over to the PC, Pat? Are they going to go to the Switch?
I hope not.
Or are they going to just succumb to this? Like they're being put in a tough spot here.
They won't succumb to it because people won't buy it. It will either go to the PC and Switch or just to PC.
Right.
That's the option now. They're not going to succumb to it because then people will not buy it anymore. It defeats the whole purpose of the game. When you're covering up the girl in her underwear, it's like, okay, well, the game wasn't that great anyway. That's the whole point of me buying the game, was that to see the anime girl in her underwear. Yeah. So when you eliminate that aspect of it, you eliminate the reason to buy it. There will still be, you know, I'm not going to sell zero copies, but I think it's going to be made clear very quickly once, you know, now that this is a thing. People are not going to buy that version. They're just not going to.
But where I'm bringing up a previous point from because we talked about censorship in video games before. Mm. But this is what's confusing me, is that this policy has to be so vague right now, because here's the thing. Red Dead Redemption 2 just came out. You can have sex in that game. There's a scene in the game where you walk in, and you're walking in a brothel scene, and you walk in and somebody having sex with a girl. She's naked on top of the guy.
Nice.
Why is that okay? And this is a girl in a bikini. So where's the line get drawn there? So any fighting game where there's a bikini costume, why is Persona 4 Persona 5 rather, the costumes you can unlock in that? Why are those okay?
What costumes?
You have swimsuit
and stuff.
The swimsuit and stuff. What's the difference here, and where's the line gonna be drawn? And that's a really dangerous line you're drawing here, where it's like, how many things are you cutting out here? Because it has to be clear to the developers. Yeah. Otherwise, the developers are going to say, I'm not dealing with you anymore.
Right. That's okay. I'll take Persona 6 on the Switch.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Neely says that he predicts a Persona 5 Golden or whatever the fuck they end up doing will come out on Switch, maybe.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be awesome.
So, yeah, it's always censorship is always a slippery slope. The rating system exists for a reason, and it's just bizarre. It's like, if Sony, who did DVDs and Blu-ray, they created the format, were like, no nudity on Blu-rays. It's just like, okay.
Guess we're not going to use Blu-rays anymore.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, VHS has literally won the format war back then because of pornography.
Yeah, well, that's a myth, but.
Well, I like to believe it.
Well, yeah, me too. I like to believe that pornography is the main reason for most things. So,
well, I mean, I don't want to have to change my laser disc over to get the money shot, you know?
I'd like to change my laser dick.
Okay.
All right, on that note.
I don't even know what that means.
Me either. But it sounded similar, and we were talking about porn.
That sounds like a painful money shot.
Yeah.
That's some.
It'll zap you right in the eye.
I'm going to give you 20/20 vision with this laser dick.
Okay. So,
okay.
Closing that out, closing this out, we'll, just one thing I saw that's interesting is they goofed on the Nintendo website and listed the YouTube app is coming on the 8th.
So that's where that rumor came
from.
Switch. Okay.
Yeah, it literally is posted on their website.
So, like, now they're finally like every other major console.
Right. So the conversation that I wanted to have, and the question is, when they originally came out and said they weren't going to do this type of stuff and that they just wanted to be focused on solely a
gaming
system.
They never said that.
They kind of did,
They said that they would have this stuff eventually.
Did they? Because I thought people were upset that like there was no internet browser and things like that.
They just said
like,
their focus was games, like you said. But they never said that like this was never like this is not what we want, guys. Like they said that down the road that there would be a Netflix or like a YouTube app.
Yeah, which I remember them saying that as well, actually, when Switch was...
Yeah, I remember them saying that actually as well, too.
Do you or
no?
Or are you just? Are you just?
I'm just mocking you.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, that's great.
Yeah. I thought you said you was all right, Spider.
Oh God damn it!
Oh my God, we're never gonna have a guest again anymore, Pat.
That's all right.
No, that's not true. I mean, I'm sure you'll be able to get other people on here, unsuspecting victims.
Right. Well, we're gonna blindside you. we're bringing in an audience. We need a 30-minute comedy set out of you.
Yeah, I would love it. If I could get stage time right now, I would be so happy.
You've got it right now. The world is listening.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not going to work.
Okay. Well, so anyway, are you excited to watch the YouTube on your Switch, or you think this is just whatever?
Somewhere in between.
Yeah.
It's just... I do watch Hulu on my Switch occasionally.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
So you're one of those goofs who's still paying for Hulu?
I have my family's.
Okay.
Hulu, so I'm not the goof paying for it.
Okay, good.
The only question there is, like, does it even really matter? Like, at this
point... Does anything matter?
We have so many different formats to watch YouTube on. Like, I watch YouTube on my phone every single day.
Right.
Like, I watch it on my TV, you know, I can watch it on my PS4 or whatever. My computer, like, why does it matter if Switch has?
Well, that's a great point. YouTube, that's kind of why I was. That's kind of what I was headed with that, which is just, do we really need? I mean, it's nice to have, but is it necessary to have every fucking what? Do we need every single device we have to have every single app on it? And I understand the. I think it's becoming less and less of a need. I think pretty soon, like, all TVs will have some sort of form of, like, wireless streaming in it where you can connect your phone. And
well, they pretty much do now. I mean, gaming consoles do, where you can just stream.
Cast it to there.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I kind of like it just because, I mean, I'm not like, oh, my God, YouTube.
Yes.
Yeah. But, no.
Fuck Smash. I'm all about this.
As I'm thinking
YouTube.
About it right now, I mean, I do like a lot of language study right now, and I watch a lot of Japanese language learning channels. It would be so awesome for me because I live back with my family now, and sometimes it's just obnoxious. Sometimes I like to just get out of the house and then use my, and then not just use my phone because it's too small, and then stand my Switch up and then just sit there and just watch a video lesson.
Right.
And then sit there and take notes. So it'll be nice for me. But I mean, okay. As far as like, I understand that. Yeah, I agree with you. It's not completely necessary these days. Mm. It's not. But it's also kind of like, why not? On the other side of that.
Right.
No, of course. I was thinking the same thing there, where, like, if everybody else has it, we need to do it too.
Well, yeah, I mean, these apps aren't necessarily hard to program onto these systems, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just, this is coming, from my perspective, I just, like, recently just deleted all those apps off my PS4
oh, yeah, you
and
did?
Stuff. Yeah, I'm just... I don't use this.
You have your
crap.
Computer hooked up
oh,
to your
yeah,
TV.
Same. Yeah.
Even if I didn't, I would use Chromecast.
That's
or
what I use. That's what I currently use.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, it's just a nice option to have it. So I figured everyone listening out there might want to know. And then in 3 sweet days, you'll be able to get that YouTube on that Switch.
Mm-hmm. So hold off on that Red Dead.
Yeah.
Hold off on.
So to close this out, I'd like to figure out what you guys have been playing. What have you been doing? What have you been seeing?
I've been seeing.
What games have you been playing, Michael?
Games I've been playing. I haven't really been playing much of anything recently. I think the last game I probably finished was Spider-Man PS4.
Well, I mean, that's pretty
that's
recent.
Pretty recent.
Yeah.
And you finished
usually
it.
Usually, I'm playing way more often. I'm usually like spending my free time, you know, actually playing through something, but. It was fun. It was a good game. Got a little repetitive.
Yeah.
A lot of the boss fights were pretty much the same button prompts over and over again, which is, you know, what I expected from a modern Spider-Man game.
Mm-hmm.
What really made it satisfying for me was, like, everybody's going crazy about the swing mechanics, which, yeah, they fucking nailed. Like, they did a really good job. The wall running, and between the wall running and the crawling... kind of, that was the only thing where I was like, I would like to be able to just crawl onto a wall instead of, like,
let me do sprint. Something that I should have done 45 minutes ago.
What? Thank you.
Oh my God, you fixed it.
Right at the end of the video. Now people...
Yep. Oh my
now,
God.
Now I don't have a crick in my neck.
I just, yeah. So
the entire time I've been uncomfortably like my neck has been sideways.
Yeah, let me fix that up for you. So, thanks. Yeah, you're basically saying the same things that I saw and when the game started to come out and got closer, I was like, this game doesn't look as good as they're making it out to be. It looks fine, but it's...
That game was so hyped forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand why.
I don't know.
The trailers made it look cool.
People love Spider-Man. He's one of the biggest superheroes. Whenever a movie comes out, even Amazing Spider-Man 2, I mean, that piece of shit got so much money.
I don't think it did. That's why they canceled the series.
Well, I mean, not compared to what they wanted, but I mean, when you look at, you know, what it actually got at the box office, it's more than some of the failures that DC has put
right.
out. Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, my attitude on that game was, it looked really cool, and then at E3, they showed someone actually playing the game, and not, like, scripted trailers, and I was like, oh, this doesn't look anything like what they've shown so far.
It looks like a fine game, just like a whatever
fine,
game.
Fine, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, well, you finished it, so it couldn't have been. It was probably pretty good, then, if you actually played all the way through it.
It's a shorter game, and I'm a huge Spider-Man fan. Like, when I was a kid, the animated series was my favorite thing in the world. Played all of the other movie games and a couple of, you know, like Web of Shadows and stuff. So,
did you play the Spider-Man cartoon?
I knew you were gonna bring that up.
No, I
didn't play that.
No.
Oh, you're a little younger than us. Yeah.
Exactly. a lot younger. Yeah. 95 is when you were born.
Yeah, 95.
Yeah.
Baby boy.
We were little kids when we played that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That was like very early, like Windows 95 software.
That sounds beautiful.
It was the animated series, and you would. Like, you would have, like, just a static background that was some backdrop from the show, and you would choose your character or whatever monster or whatever, and you would just pick it, and you would just drag it.
Click and drag it on a path.
Yeah, and that would, and then it would just, but it was, like, a one-second animation and sound effect that would just repeat the entire time that it walked around.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I love it.
It's product of its time.
Yeah.
It was really cool as a kid.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. Surprisingly, it looks like dog shit, but somehow you'd be amazed at how much time you'd spend wasting on it.
It was just like a little little activity book as a kid on a computer, really. It was
right.
It was just a really silly thing.
Very primitive computer program.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
all right.
So, sorry. No, but Spider-Man, like you said, not as good as like everybody was anticipating. Mm-hmm. I knew it wasn't going to be that level, but since Spider-Man 2, one of the better Spider-Man games to come out, probably the best one since
Spider-Man. That's 2. What I thought of when I saw that game come up was that one.
Yeah,
because that one was like known as like the big open world one back then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and now I'm gonna probably play Red Dead once I get back up north, which you know, I'm ready to spend a lot of time doing.
Well, it's wintertime up there now, so you can just hunker down for the winter and play a long cowboy game.
Yeah, and then by summer, I'll be halfway through the game, so that's good.
I'll eventually touch that game. We'll see what happens.
What have you been playing, Bowman?
I'm too busy right now, man. To be honest, I've been playing Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
What's that
like?
That's a great game.
It's Mario Brothers 3.
Okay.
No, I just I've been so overloaded, and I hate talking about how busy I am. But people like ask how I'm doing, and I'm like, I'm busy, and I just try to leave it at that. But I have a lot to do right now. So when I'm done with my long days, I may have an hour or like a half hour to like wind down before bed, and then I was playing Valhalla, and I'm still playing it. I was playing it before this podcast just a moment ago, and I'm so busy reading textbooks and everything and studying. That by the time that it's the end of the day, I don't want to play a visual novel game and sit there and read some more.
Yeah.
So I looked at my NES Classic that's all hooked up and decided to turn that on. And then I went, you know what? I've never beaten Mario Bros. 3 without the flutes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So... Like, I've never beaten every level in Mario Bros. 3.
Wow.
So have you?
No, I have not.
So I decided that I wanted to go ahead and go through that. So it's been fun. I've been raging sometimes, but it's been... It's great. Like I love Mario.
It's much easier to go through the game without the flutes than it is with them.
Probably because the difficulty just gets like
Because you get all the power.
Oh yeah, I have like 4 pages full of those.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I finally got frustrated at a couple levels and just started using the peas because I'm just like
no.
I'm just like why?
You saved the peas for the final world.
I know. I regret it, but
what a buffoon.
I know. But
you wasted the peas on like World 5. Come on, man.
It was a hard level. I'm sorry. I'll deal with it later on. I'll deal with it later on. I'm aware.
Jesus.
I've dealt with some pretty difficult stuff in it. It's just some levels were just more of a pain in the ass at certain points. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I do a full run through of that game basically.
I know
it's
Pat's like number one Nintendo game, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've got it tattooed on my arm. So. Yeah.
So I've always been a Super Mario World guy. I've completed that game several times, but I've never gone through Mario Bros. 3. So,
okay, yeah. Cool.
I tried playing Maniac Mansion on the NES Classic, and it's just...
But the Maniac Mansion isn't on the NES Classic, Bowman.
Whoops. Sorry. I mean, I played Maniac Mansion in a different way. I don't know. Anyways, yes, so I modded my NES Classic, so I have like a bunch of random ROMs on there, and Maniac Mansion's on there. I've always wanted to beat that game. I don't know if you know what it is.
No,
it's like a click and point adventure game.
Okay,
and it's
kinda
just
like Dragon Slayer or something.
No, not at all.
Okay,
click and point adventure is like
there you go.
Is like, do you know Escape from Monkey Island? That's a pretty famous one.
No, I've never really dabbled
in. A point and click adventure game is literally just like a game where you have a character on the screen and you like. Point and click on an object for them to interact with it. Like,
you
like,
ever play
like
Spy Fox?
Yeah, like early like childhood education games were like.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you ever play that Spy Fox?
Putt-Putt.
Yeah, that was
Putt-Putt. I love Putt-Putt. I was a big fan.
Yeah, I was too.
Yeah. So I've always wanted to play this game and beat it, and I've already just given up and just go, this is just so, I'd rather just play the PC version of this.
Yeah,
point.
I thought you were going to say, I'd rather just play Putt-Putt.
Actually, I would rather play Putt-Putt.
We're bringing Putt-Putt back, baby.
I did play Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom. I didn't beat it yet, but that game aged very well.
I want that game for my NES collection.
It's very cool.
It's one of the very few, I have like 20 games left on a list of games that I want. Still, before I'm done buying NES games, and
that's
one
awesome
of them.
Awesome! If it's only 20 games that you have left, that you
out of the entire library, I have a list around here somewhere. But yeah, I literally went through the entire library.
Is that like a really valuable game, Princess Tomato?
It's gotten expensive,
like $80 expensive, or like...
I could check real quick. But yeah, I mean, I've stopped buying loose games.
Okay, I see.
So that's
with the complete copy of that.
That's definitely not going to help me. Let's see here, Princess Tomato. It's going to be, $85 loose and $175 complete.
Yeah, here it is. It's so silly.
Yeah.
I mean, look at that. I mean,
yeah,
how could you not love this game?
So, yeah.
it's pretty wacky.
So, you're mostly sticking to your NES Classic, then?
Mostly just playing my NES Classic and then playing Valhalla if I have, like, a free moment or two on my Vita.
Cool.
Nice.
So
I've been playing Red Dead 2, and...
You have?
Yeah.
You got it?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I got it with...
Oh, well, let's get into that, then.
I got it with Neely's expiring my Best Buy Gamer Club thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
So when he was here, I was like, I didn't really have any money, but I have a Best Buy card, and I'm like, I'll just pay it next month. And I'm like, let me get it while you're here and get 20% off.
Yeah.
So that's why I got that and Mario Party, and we played a lot of both. First impressions of Red Dead 2. I'm not far into it, okay? I've played maybe 5 hours, and that's, like, still in the tutorial section. Now, I'm not saying, like, you can't do anything, and they're just like, do this to walk around, but it's, the missions are still, like, they're basically, the missions are the tutorial, so the missions that I'm in still are, like, go here, and then you go do the mission, and the guy's like, oh, hey, howdy, thanks, I buy horses, so if you ever need a horse to sell, bring it here. And, like, that's what it is. Like, that's the mission is you meet the horse guy.
Yeah, you're opening up different ways to play the game.
And, exactly. So, or, like, oh, go to the bar and, like, take care of this business. And the whole point is you can go here to go to the bar, and this is where you get your drinks and you'll get missions and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, yeah, there's always been elements of that in Rockstar games, especially.
But it's still, I'm still
GTA.
Really early on. I'm still really
first
early
impressions?
On. Slow,
tedious,
extremely cumbersome controls, the atmosphere, story, sound, all top-notch.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can't really give an accurate idea of what I think of it or how it is because I'm so early into it. It's such a massive game. It just, at times, it feels tedious just to be, and the controls at times just feel obtuse.
Does it almost seem like some of the NPCs, like in the open world in that game, are too responsive to your actions? Because
in what way?
Well, like, I've only picked it up and played it at a friend's house for, like, probably, you know, a couple of hours. And I had a lot of instances where I had to fight someone or, you know, end up...
Because you, like, bumped into
running
him or
away. Yeah, because you just bump into them. Like, you don't even have your gun out or anything.
You can use you can target them and use, like, speech options to, like, antagonize them or try and like, calm them down. And that does work a lot of the time.
Yeah, there's a lot of times when if you bump into someone accidentally and keep on walking, they'll just run up to you and punch you in the face.
It's the Wild West, man.
Yeah.
The game is extremely cumbersome. There's so many different things going on. So much controls.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much going on that it's really... I've not put enough time into it to give an accurate description. However, I could foresee it being a really incredible game. It's just right now, I'm still learning how to play the game. And... I feel like it could go either way. I feel like in one way, I'm going to tell you this right now. They like the media and stuff misled everyone. This is not a particularly like groundbreaking game or anything. Like, I'm sure it's a fantastic game, but the way that the media, and they didn't even show any gameplay before the game came out. They only showed trailers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And my theory is the reason for that is because they were afraid of people realizing this is essentially just like a GTA game in the Wild West. It's not, which is fine, and the first one was great, but
yeah,
the way that they kind of talked about this game leading up to it made it sound like it was going to be this big breakthrough game that was going to change the industry,
mm-hmm.
like how, in my opinion, Breath of the Wild did for open world games. To me, that was a much bigger deal, and maybe I'm just not there yet because I'm still early on in the game, but it kind of just feels like a typical open-world game. It's better. It's not like, you know, Assassin's Creed or something like that. It's clearly a much, much more thought went into this game and polish, and, you know, I could foresee it being a masterpiece, and just the atmosphere and the music are incredible and the story, but it's a very, like, I can't stress enough, I have not put a lot of time in this game. It's a very, very slow-paced game. You can't, and they make, a lot of the complaints are that it's too realistic. I don't necessarily have that complaint, but it's slow because of that. So there's, like, as far as I've seen so far, there's no fast travel. So,
yeah, I've heard that.
So a lot of times, so a lot of the game is, you're sitting on a horse riding next to someone during a mission and, like, they're having a dialogue while you're riding to the next place. Yeah. And
does it still get cut short the way it did in, like, those old...
No, because this is, like, part of the story. It's on... You're on a mission, so you're basically being fed a story from your... from the NPC or whatever while you're riding, and you can set it on, like, cinematic mode, so you don't even have to drive the horse and just kind of watch them ride through the canyon or whatever in cinematic mode while the music's playing and he's telling the story. So
that seems a little disappointing.
What?
This whole option for cinematic mode.
Why? And
just watch it happen.
It's an option. You don't have to do it.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it makes it feel like there's
I don't really have
a choice.
I don't really need to hit X repeatedly to keep the horse up to speed for 20 minutes while they're riding through.
Well, no, I mean, the whole thing that draws me to games like that is that even if you're in the middle of a mission, like, with someone, if you want to do something, you can still do it. You know, and if you put in, like, that cinematic, like,
option. You can do that, though.
Yeah,
it's just
can.
An option.
It's an option. Because he's describing it, and I probably would want to do the cinema option.
I do that.
Really?
Because
because
it automatically just falls at the same pace as the guy next to you, and instead of having to deal with riding the horse and stuff, you can just listen to the story that they're telling you, and it's a beautiful game. So it's just,
yeah,
and you know, with the music and stuff, whatever, it's you're listening to a story, and that's what it's there for. Mm. So, but yeah, I can foresee it being a really great game. I only played it because Michael Neely was here, and we thought maybe it was a game that we could like switch off on and play, but it was just such a slow moving game. It's so cumbersome that it was hard to learn and stuff that it was not, it was extremely boring watching the other one play it. We gave up on that pretty quick. I'm going to go
Mario Party instead.
Right. We played a lot of Mario Party, which I am having a lot of fun with. I'm not a big Mario Party guy. not a big Mario Party gay.
Yeah. No.
Or guy. And, yeah, I love it. It's a lot of fun. We're going to play it right after this. So.
All
right. And then, yeah, so I'm going back to Persona 5 now that my friend is gone. And I'm going to finish that real quick before I finish Red Dead.
All right. So,
great.
On that note, real quick, Michael, can we please have you do like a one joke before we go?
You want one joke?
One joke. One joke. Oh, we got a professional comedian on the show. We need a joke. Just give us one joke. Come on, you know plenty.
Yeah, well, I mean, I can. Fuck. You know, this is really being put on the spot like this. I don't like this. But
show business, baby.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, so I really don't know if I. What are you guys? Is there anything that you don't want me to?
Yeah, something say? That's not longer than 2 minutes.
Oh, okay. That's it? That's only...
Yeah, something short and sweet.
Okay.
I don't care what it is.
Well, all right. Well, I kind of feel a certain way about a lot of different things, so I'll just give you an opinion, basically.
Okay.
Fuck medical marijuana.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah? Why?
You know, I mean, it's 2018, man. Like, medical marijuana, like... You know, that was a big deal. Like, a couple of years ago, most states, you know, have it. I feel like we should just really push the barriers, you know? Like, instead of medical marijuana, let's legalize medical heroin.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think we should legalize medical heroin. You know why? Like, I mean, like, I've witnessed it personally. Like, I've seen people, like, one of my friends, he had AIDS, for instance, and he was taking heroin for his AIDS. Oh, shit. Oh, wait. I fucked that up. I'm sorry, guys. no, he, that's how he got AIDS, was the heroin. that was the dirty needles, you right. know, sharing those.
I saw one of those in the Walmart parking lot the other day, actually.
Yeah, well, you know what you do with those is,
avoid them?
No, you don't get AIDS? No, you tell, your friend to run in front of you when you try to throw it at him.
Okay, like a dart.
Yeah. And then if they get hit, it's fun because then you can place bets on whether they contracted any kind of, like, disease, you know?
Is that what you do with Ryan?
No, Ryan throws those up in the air and, like, catches them in his teeth. He's, yeah. like, a lot more of a...
He's like a carny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've seen him swallow a lot of dirty syringes. You know, the sword swallowers, he just...
Michael, do you have like a Twitter or anything that people should follow if they want to see anything about
Facebook,
you?
Facebook, Twitter, or
like a Facebook,
YouTube,
Twitter, YouTube.
Something.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got a Facebook account. I'll add pretty much anyone. So just yeah, just look me up, Michael Zendel. I've got a picture of myself on stage. I've got Instagram as well, MichaelZ13, which you know that's all goofy pictures and memes of me doing my thing and all my friends.
So. Cool. Sweet. All right. Thank so on that much. Note, yeah, thanks for being here, man. It was a good time.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So pleasure. On that note, I like to ask you guys, go out and subscribe to us. Go follow us on the Twitter at @the_GameBoys with a Z. Go follow us on Facebook at @TheGameBoys with a Z. And go follow us everywhere. Just subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean. Google podcast thing, whatever it is, we're on there. I guarantee you,
all of them.
We're on all of them.
All of that.
Bowman, you have anything to say to the people?
We want to hear from you.
Yes, leave us a review. Tweet at us. Follow us on Twitter again. Do it twice.
Shit post. I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. We want those 5-star reviews though. Leave us those 5-star reviews. they help us out quite a bit. When people see the 5-star review, they go, now these are some guys I can get behind, and then they subscribe.
Yeah.
And that's what we need, 7 billion subscribers going for the 100% adoption rate.
Smash that fucking like button.
Smash the like button.
Yeah. Tell your mom to do it.
And keep an eye out for us at IAPA. And where are we going to be this weekend, Bowman?
We're going to be in Miami. What is the name of that?
We got a real professional production here. It's it's Gaming Comic Expo.
Gamer Comic Expo in Miami.
Nice.
Well, we will be there. Miami in good old sunny Florida.
And Sunday. And then next week, Monday through Friday, at various times, we will be at IAPA. And we're going to be covering those events here on our podcast. We're going to have interviews. It's going to be great. And until then, stay cool. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.